The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
In recent times, we've seen a surge in people being diagnosed with ADHD, mostly children or young people, but sometimes adults too. Because while doctors warn of overdiagnosis, there are a number of people living undiagnosed for years. And one woman who waited until she was 26 to get diagnosed and did so because she didn't present with the stereotypical symptoms is with me now, Molly Roberts, who's a content creator. Molly, good morning and welcome.
Thank you so much for having me on, Pat.
So you lived with this for years, although I'm told that ADHD can change over the years with your age and so on. But what symptoms did you have growing up that made you feel it's not quite as I'd like it to be?
So I think it's important to know that you can't actually grow out of ADHD. I suppose just as you get older, you can learn to cope with the symptoms better. And at different times of your life, they can, I suppose, flare up depending what's going on. And also that ADHD presents very differently in girls and women than it might do in boys and men. And I think stereotypically, when we think of ADHD, we kind of think of a disruptive, rowdy little lad jumping around the classroom.
In the classroom, yeah. So in your case, so what were you like at school?
In my case, I was quite well behaved, I would say, at school. And then when I would come home, I would have absolute meltdowns. And I just couldn't handle my emotions. I was overly anxious. And I had a lot of like body image issues and things like that. But when I was a child, like even a toddler, I was brought to a child psychologist that said I had all the pointers for ADHD. But at the time, my family never moved forward with an official diagnosis. So just going through the school system and everything like that growing up, I didn't have.
Now, why did they not move forward? Was it that they didn't want to have you labelled in some way? Was that a concern?
I'm not sure exactly what it was. I think maybe it was just the time. And I think, I don't think until recently people realised that girls could get ADHD. It just stereotypically was a boys thing, because in girls it's very much in our the hyperactivity element can be in our minds. So we might be like well behaved on the outside, like you don't need to be disruptive to have ADHD. I'm very well behaved, but a lot of it is actually in our minds. So because I wasn't really causing a ruckus in the classroom, maybe, or because I was, you know, still doing my exams and things like that, they thought, well, it's not really impacting her, but it was impacting me eternally.
You talk about that internal ADHD, what's happening? Is it lack of concentration? Are you like the old term was a scatterbrain, that you couldn't focus on any given thing?
Yeah, well, I can focus on things I'm interested in, and I can actually go into a state of hyperfocus where I might forget to go to the bathroom or eat or anything because I'm so focused on that individual thing that I'm interested in. But if it's something that's really important and it feels like a big deal, I will really struggle to be able to concentrate on that. But other things, it can lead to disordered eating. It can affect my relationships, my friendships. It can affect me in work in terms of missing deadlines and things like that. And it's really more so the relationship you have with yourself, and being told so often growing up that you're just lazy or you're not good enough or you're not applying yourself hard enough, now you need to cop on. A lot of that in women comes out in being really like a lot of issues with our self-confidence, and kind of feeling like, oh no, I'm going to hold myself back now and I'm going to go into myself because I mustn't be good enough if I can't do
so. So bring us through the path to diagnosis finally, you know. So, when you were whatever age it came at, 26?
26. I started kind of realising about it when I was in my master's degree. A girl beside me who I'm very good friends with has ADHD, and as she was talking about her story, I realised I might have that too. So I went to my GP and they said, we'll put you on anxiety medication, but there's no point putting you on a public list to get diagnosed because you won't get seen to because they're so long. So after that, I decided, well, I still need to get this diagnosis for myself because I feel like I'm not being believed, or I can't give myself the accommodations I need if I don't get this diagnosis. So I saved up to go privately. And I personally had a great experience doing it privately. It took around, I'm going to say, 3 months-ish. But that will depend on waiting lists and individual clinics. And
who do you go to get this diagnosis? What kind of professional?
So you would go, you can look up on ADHDIreland.ie, I think their website is. You can see any clinicians that are taking on assessments, and it could be an ADHD clinic or it could be a psychiatrist. And there's a kind of a step-by-step process. So you would go in and it's more of an initial review, and any information you can bring about your schooling growing up, or how the symptoms of ADHD are impacting your life in multiple areas for an intense period of time, is how they go
about
that.
So you finally, after a couple of months of doing this, you finally got a definitive diagnosis.
I did.
That you have ADHD.
Yes.
Now, it's good to know that the reason you're feeling the way you feel, or the way you behave, or the way you think, is because you have ADHD.
Yes.
But what is the therapy? Because you want to, you have to live with it, I suppose, but there must be a way of coping better.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And that is an ongoing process. I don't think once you get the diagnosis that your ADHD is fixed. It's never going to be like that. And especially with women, because our symptoms can grow increasingly worse around our menstrual cycle times and when we're on our periods. But there is different therapies you can do. Sometimes people find CBT useful. Sometimes people go to an occupational therapist to get practical and ways they can work with their ADHD, because everybody's ADHD is going to impact their lives differently. And there's also the medication route, which is the route that I'm going down, and I'm still on that journey, and I've tried a few different combinations of medications to try and get that to work right for me, paired with therapy, or paired with even an ADHD coach, and also just finding other people who have ADHD and being able to chat about your experience with that and really feel seen and heard and validated.
Now, you believe this is a particular women's health problem that is ignored.
Yes, I do. I think it's kind of clear that women's health is just not getting the funding the same as men's health in the country. And that also goes into women's mental health. And I think there's this kind of narrative at the moment that all girls are just saying that they have ADHD now and it's becoming quirky and trendy. And I can tell you that it is not quirky or trendy to live with. It's not something that you would try to want or anything like that. But it's just that it's been completely underdiagnosed, because the way that ADHD presents in women is quite often different.
A question from one of our listeners, Molly. Does Molly think a lot of phone use affects people with ADHD?
I mean, anything that can be overstimulating to you can definitely ramp up your symptoms of ADHD. And definitely, I think in this world that we're living in with social media, you go onto your phone and you have no idea what is going to come at you. And it's so many different channels, so many different lines of communication up to you, something that could be upsetting and completely distract you from maybe what you were going onto your phone for.
Now, your ADHD, is it a kind of a continuum, or are there spikes?
There's definitely spikes for me as a woman with ADHD. My symptoms around when I'm on my period are so much worse, in fact, that I would need to double my medication dosage just to try to get through.
How would you behave when you're having one of those spikes? How would the casual observer say Molly is going through an ADHD spike at the moment?
I'm very irritable, extremely overwhelmed, and I might not be able to hold a proper conversation. I might be very flustered, like extremely agitated, and something small could go wrong and I could just start crying, like just not physically able. And or I might be in a very kind of depressive mode where I'm really struggling to get off the couch, and I might just look like I'm sitting on the couch on my phone, but really I'm in my head berating myself, because why can't I just get up and do that one thing that I need to do? And I'm thinking about the whole list of other things I had to do from last week that I wasn't able to do as well. So
now, what about the idea that you know you have this now, so you're kind of monitoring yourself, so you can say, I am having an episode, therefore, you know, I can cope better because I know what's causing all of this?
Sometimes, yeah. And I think that's a lot of CBT as well, is kind of recognizing the thoughts and the patterns that you have and maybe finding ways to change them. So sometimes what I find useful is body doubling. So if I have a lot to do, if there's somebody else in the room with me, more than not, that gives me a little spike of anxiety to be like, oh, I have to do it. So if I'm really struggling to clean my room, I might ask my friend to come and sit in my room, and suddenly my room will be clean in 10 minutes. No worries.
That's extraordinary.
Yeah.
Absolutely extraordinary. So we don't obviously want to, start a wave of people looking to be diagnosed because maybe they're finding life a little bit difficult. So what would you say should prompt someone to look for a diagnosis?
So I think a lot of people get this confused because they might relate to one or two parts of ADHD that might happen to them maybe once a month or something like that. But really, ADHD is these symptoms in such an intense way in your life every single day across multiple areas of your life. It's not just in school, it's across relationships, it's across work, it's across your eating, it's across your sleeping, it's every area of your life this is difficult. It's not just one thing that you're putting off and you
and
you
someone who might ADHD. Say I couldn't have it because I did well at school.
That's I have a master's degree and I have ADHD, so that's definitely not true.
All right, Molly, look, thank you very much for sharing with us. Molly Roberts, who works as a content creator and who's coping with the help of CBT, talk therapy and medication with her ADHD. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.